In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. Hey guys, welcome to the Talk 20s podcast, the podcast that helps you figure your shit out. And today is no different because we're going to be talking about how to travel the world freely and cheaply whilst living your best damn life. I'm joined by the jet setting content creator and founder of Females Flying Solo, Gabs Explores. Before we dive in, if you enjoy listening to this episode, then please do give us a follow or subscribe. And now let's get on with the show. So hello, Gabby. It feels weird saying that because that's my name as well. But yeah, Gab's taking over, we are.
We are. It's the Gab's takeover.
It's the Gab's show. I kind of like that. But we met recently because you were hosting one of our panels about travel, which was amazing. It was called The World is Your Oyster.
Yeah.
At 20s Fest. He had some other people on the panel that were speaking with you. And it went down so well that I was like, we have to get Gabs on a podcast episode about travel.
Yeah.
It's a topic that so many people want to chat about in their 20s. You know, a lot of people say like, oh, like you should travel as much as you possibly can in your 20s. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people want to. There's just, it can be quite expensive as well. So we're going to break down so many different things today. But yeah, tell us a little bit more about you. Tell our audience who you are. If they've never heard of you or seen you on social media, tell us a little bit more about you.
Okay. So my name is Gabby, obviously. I'm 26, originally from Poland, but I grew up in Manchester. And I have been like a travel content creator for the past 2 years, traveled around Asia, solo traveled mainly. Mm-hmm. So I've been producing content about solo traveling. And recently I founded Females Flying Solo, which is just a community to connect solo female travelers from all over the world, basically. So that's me.
And what started out this whole mission to travel solo and like, because I know like you had a tricky time and yeah, tell us all about it.
So it's quite a journey, I feel.
Tell us, we all want to know.
Yeah. So I think it was like during COVID time in the UK, I was sort of stuck in your classic like corporate job. Wasn't very fulfilling.
What were you doing?
I was just working like a trainer in an office in a call center.
Okay.
And it was just a bit of a toxic environment. I was like with my ex at the time and yeah, it was just really, really toxic. I would come home and like cry all the time. And I was just like, I just need to do something else, to do something for myself. Me and my ex like broke up after like 4 years. So it was like a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
And I was like just going through a bit of like an identity crisis.
We've all felt that at times, yeah.
What am I meant to do? I was also working. So it was like Monday to Friday, I was working in the office 9 to 5. And then on weekends, I would go and work in like a brain injury hospital, do like 12-hour shifts.
Oh my God. That's a lot. Why were you doing both jobs?
Because my background was psychology. So I always wanted to like go in and like help people. Mm. And it was just like difficult at the time to find like full-time jobs. So I was like, I'm just going to do that, build up my experience on the weekend and then have like my full-time job. Obviously burn out because that's not sustainable at all. And my mom actually, when she was kind of like 18, 19, she had me really young. She had me at 16. So when she was like 18, 19, she moved to England from Poland. Mm-hmm. And kind of like when I was going through that in my life, I was like, I've just got out of a relationship. I hate my job. I kind of just want to know what it feels like to like go abroad and like live abroad and just kind of like leave your family behind in a way. Mm-hmm. Because she did that. So I was like, I kind of just want to know what it feels like. So I went online, started like looking for jobs in Thailand. And I found like a job in like an addiction treatment center. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it. Applied, I got it. And then like 4 weeks later, I was like on a one-way ticket out to Thailand with like two bags.
What made you choose Thailand?
So Thailand was a place I'd already visited before. Okay. So I'd been with like my ex-partner. I went twice with my parents before. So I was really comfortable. I was like, okay, if I'm going to go somewhere that's far enough, I kind of want to go somewhere that I kind of already know.
Yeah.
So okay. I was comfortable with it. And I knew the culture as well. So I was like, let's go. And yeah, and then I went, moved to Thailand, did that job for about 3 months. And then I was like, I've got the travel bug. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I just want to travel. So I quit that job, but Thailand was still kind of in a lockdown. So the UK was coming out of a lockdown and Thailand was going into one. So you couldn't like, I was in Northern Thailand in Chiang Mai. So like you couldn't really like leave your province. So I'd already quit my job. And then I was like, okay, so I'm kind of just stuck here for a little bit. And then I just sort of traveled in Thailand, went to like Bali, traveled other areas in Asia, and here I am today.
Mm-hmm. But how did you get here today? Because that sounds like a fun thing to do. Like now you literally just travel for a job. Now most 20-somethings would be like, what? Like, how do you do that? And I know your parents are often like, how is that a job sort of thing? You've just been telling me about it, which I think is quite funny. And like, I guess you must get asked that question all the time, which must be so annoying to answer. But how did you get from, I'm just traveling out to Thailand for work, to now being like, traveling full time, basically?
So as I was sort of traveling, and as there was like that lockdown in Thailand and you couldn't really move around too much, I started just like stumbling across different communities. And there was like a really big digital nomad community. Mm-hmm. So lots of people working online, working from their laptops. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, I can do this. Like, I can't leave Thailand. I don't want to. So it's like, let's just try and do something. So obviously back then I still had like an Instagram account. I was kind of posting content, but it wasn't anything that I thought, okay, I'm going to turn this into a full-time job. I was just doing it. I was enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So I took like a social media management course. And then a couple of months later, I was working with clients, managing their social media for their businesses. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of was earning an income as I was traveling. And then I was doing content as well. So kind of just picking up money where I could just to fund my travels and keep it going. And then I got to a point, I was like, I don't want to build someone else's business anymore. I want to just focus on building my own business and start that.
And for someone who's like looking to like move to a different country and live out there, like what tips would you give from your experience, like move into a brand new city or somewhere you've been a handful of times before?
Oh, I don't know. I think just try and like follow, maybe try and seek out jobs that you find interesting. Like I always thought, okay, my background was in psychology. So I was like, I'm going to look for something in my field. And I know that that is something I want to keep learning it in as well. Mm-hmm. So just, it was just by chance that I applied and I was like, you know what? I want to just like live abroad for a bit. And
When you were like in your 20s as well, like before you left and stuff like that, you obviously, I think a lot of us kind of think like jobs can be so similar, so samey, so stuff like that. So people like really see traveling as an opportunity to like open up their eyes as well. Like for someone right now who's like really struggling, who's like feeling really depressed and does just want to do what you want to do, like what would you want to say to them? Because I feel like a lot of people can relate to that feeling of like, I don't know where my life is going. Yeah. I feel like I, you know, they maybe they've had a heartbreak like you. Like, can you tell us more about that? Like,
I would probably just say, like, for anyone that is feeling a bit stuck, like, take some time alone. I think that is something that really helped me. It wasn't so much going abroad and like doing the traveling. It was more that I had time alone. Mm-hmm. I was halfway across the world. I didn't know anyone. So I just, you know, I had time to like just think about things that I've never had the time to think about in my life. And I think that's just the beautiful thing about solo traveling. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to, you know, quit your job and move abroad. That was just what happened in my case, you know, but you can just, for example, it can be as little as like one or two nights away. And that can just sort of, you know, give you new ideas or spark something like a little thought that you've never had. And then that can lead onto something else and onto something else, you know? Mm-hmm. So like really having that time alone, I think is like really important. And I feel like it was just like a catalyst for me that led onto something else and something else.
I feel like with solo travel, a lot of people are like scared to do it because it feels daunting. Like what gave you the courage to like, be like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it on my own. Like, I think it takes guts.
Yeah, it is so scary. I think I was just in such like a position when I was like, I am so fed up. I was like, I want to just escape. And that's what I did. And then when I was abroad, I sort of was like, oh, actually, it wasn't really my environment that needed changing. It was like, I started to realize, okay, now I'm discovering parts about myself that I'm like, okay, I need to work on this or I need to work on that. And, you know, it's like, you know, solo travel is just like a form of personal development in itself. I think I was in a position where I was just like, go, get me out of here. I need to change this. And I was like, oh, actually, it wasn't really the environment that was really the issue. It was more just like, you know, not having worked on myself before, really.
Oh, that's so interesting. I do find that like when you go to different countries that like I always have this like, I have different kind of thoughts when I'm away from like my current everyday. I do just think it opens up your brain and it unlocks a different part of your brain that I just don't use. Yep. Does that make sense to anyone? Maybe.
100%, because like, you know, we're so like in our little bubble, we're in the UK and also or at home, wherever you are. But when you're traveling, you know, you're being exposed to like just different foods, different smells, different languages, things you've never seen or heard of before. And you're like, oh, wow. Like, you know, and you're kind of like, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. You start asking questions. So, yeah, I do completely agree with that. It's really nice. And, you know, you start to realize as well, actually, I like this or I don't like this. Yeah. So you just constantly like reflecting.
It always makes me look on the world like a completely different way. And like words I can't even use enough words to describe that feeling like of what it does. But it definitely enriches you so much. Like you have so many different ideas. You see things from so many different perspectives. Like it is cool.
Yeah. It's very like transformative for sure.
So if you are solo traveling, you're not always going to spend every single moment of the day on your own, right? You're going to probably want to meet people and make friends. Like what's been your experience of doing that?
My experience of that is I feel like the irony with solo traveling is that you are actually with people most of the time. Because, you know, when you're on your own and when you're in that situation, if you have that desire to make friends and meet people, you just have to push yourself out that comfort zone, whether it's like staying in a hostel or like attending an event or something like that. And you slowly just start building up these friendships. And like, the more you do that, the more you push yourself out of your comfort zone, the more confident you get as well. So in my case, like when I was living abroad, I found myself to just sometimes be experiencing burnout from being with other people. When I take little trips, it's more just for like, okay, I want to get away from people and not speak to anyone at all. But yeah.
And where are all the places you've been now? Because you've been loads. Like you were just really off. Like even since I last saw you, you've been to like two different countries. And that wasn't that long ago. It was like a month.
So I've been to solo traveling. I've done like Thailand. I did Bali. Malaysia, Vietnam, spent a little bit of time in Dubai. Where else have I been? Croatia, Barcelona last week. But I'm very much like, I don't like just ticking countries off my list. I'd rather go somewhere and spend a little bit longer in that place or just have more time, more free time. So when I was in Barcelona, I just spent like a week there and I didn't really do any touristy things, but I got to know the place really well. So I really like to just like, I value like quality in a time more than like the quantity, in a way, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Do you ever get homesick?
Yeah, I do. I do. And it's like, I get more homesick for like, obviously at my family. And I've got like little cousins as well. And I think that makes me homesick as well when you've got like kids in your family because they just grow up so fast. Yeah. So I get homesick in that sense. But then it's like little things that like your favorite mug or just the things that you would never think of. If you're away for a longer period of time, if you're like backpacking and you're just like, oh, I really wish I could just have like a really nice cup of tea or something like that. Like it's just little things like that, that I get homesick about.
I think that a lot of people are maybe like worried about staying safe when they travel on their own as well. Like how much is that a concern for you or does it not really cross your mind?
It definitely does cross my mind. And I think the thing with safety is it's so subjective. So like what safety means to me is probably totally different to what it means to you. And it, you know, depending on how you were brought up, where you lived and, you know, all of that contributes to what you perceive safety as, right?
Yeah.
So I think when you travel solo as well, it's because that's probably my biggest question that I get all the time. Like, how do you stay safe? And it's really hard to answer that because, like I say, it just means so many different things to someone. So for me, when I was first starting out, like I was really scared to like go out at night just because, I don't know, I guess we just associate like as soon as the sun goes down, you're like, oh. But you just practice and you build the confidence and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, maybe spend a little bit more on accommodation to stay in like the city center or something like that, stay in like a better area just so I can like go out in the evening. And one thing I did start doing as well is personally for me, because that's what I was afraid of, is booking like a hotel or a hostel that was near like a shopping mall. Because I was like, if I can't go out during the city at night, I can at least walk around in a shopping mall and I feel safe so that I'm still doing something in the evening.
Yeah.
So it's just about like finding little things like that, that, you know, give you your own peace of mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one. I think there was one story that you just told me at lunchtime that you were like, how like
Oh,
and like the whole idea of like confidence, but I think it's one of those things because naturally you are going to find yourself in situations you're like, I don't know how safe I feel, but like tell us what happened there.
So I was in Dubai actually, and I was like in Old Town Dubai just doing like shopping in the markets as you do, and I remember my mum asked me to like get like a fake pair of sunglasses. She was like, just get me some fake sunglasses while you're there. And I was like, okay, yeah, do that. And I was like walking around all the markets and you've got like spices and food and things like that. And, you know, one of the shop owners comes up to me and is like, do you want to buy some perfume or some oud or some spices? I was like, no, I don't need that. And he's like, what are you looking for? And I was like, oh, I want some sunglasses. And he's like, oh, like I have a shop. And he gets his phone out and he shows me like a video of a shop, and it's got like loads of fake bags and fake sunglasses and all of this, and then there's loads of people in the shop, so I'm like, oh yeah, like take me there. So he calls his friend and his friend comes, and then he's like, oh, come with me, I'll take you to where the shop is. So we go like down one alleyway and then like another and then up these stairs, and then he opens the door and there it is, there's the shop that was on the phone that he showed me, like a video clip. And then like I walk in and the door just like shuts on like a latch, and I was the only person in there. And I was just like, okay, I was like, this is not the best like situation to be in. Like, it's not very safe thinking about it. Like, it's just me and two men. I was like checking my phone was working. I was like, okay, my phone's working. And I was just like, you know what? They cannot not sense my fear right now. Like, I'm obviously scared, but I've gone this way. I need to walk out with some sunglasses. So he starts showing me these sunglasses. And then obviously he gives me like a price that was like really, really expensive. And I was like, no. And then I start negotiating with him. And I was like, what am I doing? Just get out of here. And then, yeah, I think he ended up just getting a bit fed up with me. And he was like, I think I just took like the cash out. And I was like, this is what I'm going to pay for 3 pairs of sunglasses.
Oh, you didn't even get one, you got three.
I got three. I was like, I have not come all this way. Like, I was like, one for me, one for my mum, one for my dad. Just put the money in. He was like, fine, and just go. And then like the door like unlocked. So it was just like a very vulnerable situation. Obviously, I don't think anyone would have anything would have happened. But like looking back at it now, it probably wasn't very... very safe, I guess.
But like until you got to that point, you, the video you saw had loads of people in there. You didn't know the door was going to lock like behind you. Like sometimes you do just find yourself in situations that people would have gone, I'd have never have ended up in that situation. But you don't know.
No, like, you don't know.
You like, and ultimately you probably just are a person that just like, you want to trust everyone and stuff like that. Like, so yeah, I think it's like have your wits about you.
You
and like, but also I think the main thing from that is like, the confidence, like they can get you out to so many different things. If like, if people can sense the fear in you, you're either going to get like ripped off or like led astray or, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you are someone that is just starting out like solo traveling, and that is something that you are worried about, like scams, because they happen everywhere, you know?
Yeah. A quick note from our sponsors, Zopa Bank, who are here to help you with your personal finance in the Zopa app. Zopa have a For You section on their app that gives you helpful, personalized insights, like reviewing your subscriptions, checking for cheaper broadband and energy bills. The first thing that you need to do is link your accounts using Open Banking. Once your accounts are connected, the available data will let Zopa understand your finances and give you personalized insights. It will also analyze your credit file and check your Zopa eligibility. Best of all, it's all free and at your fingertips always, so you can make sure you're making the best, most informed choice with your money 24/7. Download the Zopa app now to find out more.
One, do your research, and two, just maybe try and avoid areas. Like, I mean, go into a market where people are going to try and get you into the shop and get you to try and negotiate. Like, you just save that for later when you're feeling confident, you know, when you've built up more confidence. But yeah, that would be my advice.
Are there a lot of scams, like, when you go and traveling and stuff? Because I've not done the whole backpacking thing. Like,
I feel like scams are everywhere, around every corner. Like, even if you go to like London, I don't know, maybe there's people like trying to sell you things or like a CD or something.
In Liverpool, people walk up to you and they try and sell you like fake AirPods all the time.
Yeah.
They'll just walk up to you and open a bag and be like, do you want some AirPods?
Yeah. And I guess if you're like somewhere that someone that's, you've just arrived somewhere new.
Yeah.
And if you're like, I'm a people pleaser as well. So I just really struggle to say like no.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, oh, I'll come back. I'll come back later.
Yeah. Come back later.
I'll come back later. And I feel like you can, in some places you can get away with being like, oh, I'm going to go and get cash out. But recently in these markets, they're getting like card readers out. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're like, oh, we have a card machine there. And I'm like, what do I say now?
No, yeah. I don't know what you say in that situation. No,
I don't know either. I think I just run.
Yeah. Just run.
I just run.
So when it comes to like solo travel then, like, and doing it to the amount that you do, because you're always in a different country. We're never messaging you. What are your best hacks then for like booking your travel and accommodation?
Ooh. God, what are my hacks? Like, I'm quite lucky that I have like the power of like flexibility. Mm-hmm. So I always like go on like Skyscanner and like look at what the cheapest destination mm-hmm. and the cheapest flight is. And I always say like try and chase the deal, not the destination. If you want to travel a lot and have like lots of travel experiences.
Right, yeah. Because if you specifically want to go to one country, stay in like one hotel and all that kind of stuff, you'll just end up paying the premium, right?
You will. You'll end up paying the premium. Of course, there are some the locations as well that are like the bucket list destinations, you know? Yeah. If you're planning like a trip to the Maldives or something like that, like you might be saving up for that. But if you do just have like that sense of wanderlust and you just want to explore somewhere and be out of like, you know, your comfort zone, your little bubble, you just want some time off, like just chase like the deals and just have
where do you find your deals?
So Skyscanner has a great function that's like you kind of just search by the month so you can see what flights are the cheapest to what destinations.
On what day to fly out on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So look at whole month.
You can look at whole month. That's the thing. You can look at whole month if you're flexible with dates, or you can just put in your dates and click like explore everywhere, and then it will show you the cheapest destinations.
Yeah. That's cool.
I found flights in August to Paris return for £22 doing that way. I know.
That's insane. £22 to Paris.
Liverpool to Paris return.
That is so... And you literally just search the whole... Like, just like, to the top.
What's the cheapest
to where you're
going to
go. And then that's amazing.
I know.
I was having a little scout of your website and there were some interesting things I'd never even heard of. So if you can tell us what they are, like trusted house sitters. Is that a cheap way? What is that?
Okay, like, so trusted house sitters is if you are someone that likes pets. It's basically house sitting for free. Mm-hmm. So you go online, you have to purchase a membership.
Yeah.
I think it's like £99 or £100 for a year. But basically, you know, if you have a dog and you're going away for a week and you want someone to look after your dog, you put up an advert on there, and then someone like me can go on there and like apply. And get free accommodation.
Free accommodation.
For the week. Yeah. That's obviously, so you have to look after the pet.
Yeah.
So if you are someone that enjoys doing that.
But can you do that to go out to another city? So say you want to go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Like, is it national? Like, is it like international?
All over the world. Yeah.
That's insane.
All over the world.
Have you ever done it?
I've applied to quite a few, but I'm quite last minute when it comes to booking things. So the ones I have applied, I have sadly been rejected. Because you do have to, especially if you're looking for like cities, of, you know, places like London or Barcelona, you know, how many people are applying for things like that. Mm-hmm. So the ones I've applied have sadly been rejected. Mm-hmm.
But like, it's accommodation, but it gets like... free dogs. You guys pet a dog. Like, that'd be my idea of heaven.
And if you're traveling on your own, like, you're not feeling as lonely. Yeah. So.
Exactly. Do you think, like, with that, like, how... I also think, like, how would I know who was looking after my dog? Like... I would feel a little bit stressed about that.
So you do like an application, and then you normally arrange to have like a video call as well with them.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So it's like an interview.
Yeah, because I just like, my dog's like my child. Yeah. So I'm like, I wouldn't just let anyone just like book it like an Airbnb. I'd be like, come on, he likes to be walked out this time. He likes this food. Like, okay, cool. Sounds good. Eat With
is One where you, that's another one I haven't actually tried, but it's always been on my list. It's basically where like locals have like dinner parties and can invite you to their home, or like they can host them in restaurants sometimes, which are, yeah, they're really good. But there's also really good ones in London. I haven't tried it yet though either. But one thing I do always do, which I think is amazing, I use another website called Guru Walk.
Okay.
And it's just free walking tours. So it's like not a comparison website. Loads of cities always have like walking tours. If you go on Google and type in like free walking tour in Barcelona, for example. Mm-hmm. And what Guru Walk is a platform for all those different walking tour providers in one place. Of course, you tip your guide like at the end, but it's one, a great way to see a city, get your bearings, and gain some like history, as opposed to just like walking around on your own and being like, what's this, what's that? Two, meet new people, because there's other people on a tour with you. I did one in Hanoi in Vietnam, and it was actually like a food tasting walking tour. And I made friends with a girl that I then met up with in Dubai a few weeks later. We were traveling there.
Travel friends are always like different kind of friends, aren't they?
Yeah. And then I did another one in Dubai, which was actually a photographer that was doing the walking tour. So we got loads of cool professional photos of me.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's amazing.
That's so, and all of these are free.
They're free to book, but obviously, of course, you do like kind of contribute a tip towards the end. But yeah, they're great.
When it comes to like Google Maps in another country though, I always find it difficult because I'm obviously probably not using data and stuff like that. Have you got any like tips for that as well?
Yes, always. I always stay connected. That's one thing when it comes to safety as well. Like for me, I just, the thought of one, not having a portable charger on me or not having data is just like, I mean, our phones are our lifelines these days, you know? So I use SIM Connections, which is like an eSIM.
Okay.
So basically they have an app, you go in the app, say if I'm going to Spain, I then go and like purchase a data plan, say 10 gigabytes worth of data. I then purchase that. And then it's like a QR code or like a code that you get, and you just install that as an eSIM. So you just turn data roaming on for that eSIM. And then as soon as you land in your destination, you're just connected.
That's so good. And you can do that for like a week or all different times. Amazing. That's all the tips. I'm trying to take them in as I write. I wrote down a word here, radical. I don't know where I've pulled that from.
Storage. So that's if you you know, sometimes if you're going on like a city break maybe and you can't check into like 3 or 4 p.m., but you've got a suitcase with you, that's another app as well that you can search for just luggage storage, which is really good.
Yeah, I remember reading it now. That's brought back to me, but I couldn't get it from the word radical. For anyone that's traveling right now, I think those are huge like things that you can just like little things that you can pick along the way, but that make a huge impact basically. Where would you, if you could travel anywhere in the world now, like what's your wish list?
Oh, I think Japan.
What makes you so interested in Japan?
It's just so, it just looks so cool. Yeah. The food looks gorgeous. Amazing. Yeah. There's so much to do. Like it's just cool. Like, yeah.
And where's one place you wouldn't want to go?
Oh, I don't know. I've never really been mad on Australia. I think, like, it's just,
A lot of people do. Like, I know loads of people that, like, have gone and travelled around Australia and done the whole backpacking thing and around there, but that doesn't get you excited.
I did nearly do it when I had to leave Thailand, and I was sort of, like, panicking, like, oh, my God. I need to go because my visa was running out. I don't really know where to go next. And like everyone around me was going to Australia. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to go. But I was like, no, hang on. Like, I need to go somewhere that I know I'm going to enjoy, not just because everyone else is going there.
I think that's true of everything, isn't it? Not just you got to do it because you want to do it, right?
Exactly.
And it's not like a cheap place to just go to for just like if you don't really feel like it as well. Like,
I'm quite like to spend my money. I could be a bit like, I like to go to like a rooftop bar and for a nice meal. So
I was going
to
ask you about that actually. I was like, how do you keep it cheap and affordable? Like, or do you not? Like,
it depends. I think it's just about having to prioritize what you want to do. Like, I think having like non-negotiables, like what you want to do on a trip. And for me, usually it's like going for one nice meal out by myself solo. So I normally just try and budget that in, and I don't care if I eat cheap for the rest of the time because I've done the one thing I want, like, so it's like, you know, that non-negotiable has been met. Mm. So it's just about having like priorities. Like I wouldn't be able to go out for fancy meals every single day, but I can allow myself to do it once and then just eat like meal deals for the rest of the time.
If there's one experience you wish you could undo that you've done traveling, or like a bad experience, like is there anything that springs to mind that you're like, I would really advise that you don't do that?
I don't think I would actually.
Thanks for listening to the Talk 20s podcast. If you're still listening, here's a little reminder about our pay partner, BetterHelp. We know that your 20s can sometimes be tough and it's hard to find good therapists to talk to. If this is something you're struggling with too, why not check out BetterHelp? As a thank you for listening, we have a special link that gets you 10% off your first month. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s.
I'm not really like massively adventurous. So like I'm happy to just be on a beach, drinking a coconut or a glass of wine and like, yeah, probably just make sure that you watch out for like scammers. Like I'm not sure I'd want to get into that situation again on my own last time.
And how do you balance work? Like obviously like it's nice to be sat on a beach and stuff like that, but how convenient is it to be sat there with your laptop and stuff like that? Or do you not work when you're like traveling?
No, I definitely work. I feel like I work all the time. That is a tough one. It is difficult, but I think, you know, when you're like doing loads of freelance jobs or like you're starting your own business, you just have to do it. And, you know, you have to just remind yourself, like at the end of the day, like, you know, I can take my laptop and work from a cafe. So I'm still having, one, a travel experience. I get to, you know, be somewhere new in a new country, try new food, drink coffee with like nice views behind me and do my work. So it's kind of like reminding yourself that, and it kind of gives you the motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We love asking on the podcast everyone's biggest adulting failure. Oh, is it to do with traveling?
Or? I don't feel like I have any massive failures, and I'm not sat here saying like I'm perfect. I just think every sort of experience that you failed is like a learning experience, is probably just like preparing you for something else. But I think one of mine is getting to a point where I was traveling and just running out of money and just being in a situation where I'm like, okay, I have to go home now because I can't live, you know? And then coming home from that. And even now, I don't necessarily think that's a failure as such. I think maybe that's just like something I had to go through. If I hadn't gone through that, then I probably wouldn't be sat here today. But it's like at that time, I felt like I was just coming home. I felt like a failure. You know, I was like, all my friends have like careers, jobs, you know, my family are like, what are you doing with your life? So I think, you know, trying to not get to a point where you just have no money, because anything can happen, like anything, you know, you do need to have like some savings behind you a little bit.
How do you deal with the pressure of people like putting their own perceptions of what they think about traveling like onto you? Do you know what I mean? Like when you, they're saying, no, like, why are you traveling? It's because there's so many people like out there who are in their 20s. That's just what they want to do. They want to see the world. But like parental judgment and like, what will employers think when I come back? Like, how do you deal with all of that?
Remember your reasons and why you're doing it. Try and like have those conversations with people around you. And like, if they don't get it, then like, that's okay. Like, just remind yourself, like, not everyone wants to travel. Like, not everyone wants to live that life, you know? Equally, like, I know that I'm not at a point in my life where I do want to like get married or like have babies, and but some of my friends do, you know, and like that is completely okay.
Yeah, everyone's going through different things in their 20s. Like we were saying that thing before of like, you know, we were talking about being a typical 26-year-old, and then we're like, what is a typical 26-year-old? Because at 26, you can be wanting to travel the world, like, you know, not really so bothered about your career because you've got all of the rest of your older life to like focus on that. You know, you probably want to see the world and that can be a 26-year-old, but a 26-year-old can be married, two kids, like, you know, full-time parent. Like they can be, everyone's life is so different, and like, it's really nice to hear this side of it. Do you know what I mean? Like where you're just carefree and wanting to kind of see the world. I think that's so important.
It's just reminding yourself that like everyone is on a different journey, and you know, sometimes I do struggle with that, and I think, oh, like a part of me like would want that. I would want to have like my own place and you know, be a little bit more settled. But then I'm like, actually, it's not what I want, you know. I know I want to do other things. So, you know, everyone's on their own journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one of the other things we like to talk about on the Talk 20s podcast is the idea that no one is perfect. No. Like everyone is working through something. We've all got our own things that challenge us. For you, what's one thing that you're trying to work on getting better at in your life right now?
So one thing for me, I would say, is it's going back to that. It is that idea of like comparison. Mm. And especially if you have like, you know, running two Instagram pages and social media pages, you've got like, I've got Gabs Explores where I share like loads of travel tips. And then I've got like Females Flying Solo, which is the community. And you're constantly creating content and you're constantly like consuming that as well. And it is difficult trying to like not get caught up in like the numbers or like comparing yourself to others. So that is something I am continuously working on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find, okay, if I click on someone's page and I'm like, oh my God, I start to like notice my thought patterns. I'm like, okay, maybe I just need to flip this around. Like maybe this is just inspiration for me. Like maybe this is, I need to look at this and be like, this is what's possible. And maybe this is just like the universe giving me a sign that like, I do need to still continue to work on that. So that is definitely a big one for me. And I think in terms of like, you know, we were talking about this earlier as well, like when you're starting your own business, like Females Flying Solo is so new to me. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest challenges is kind of the financial side of it is, you know, not having money and just mm-hmm. being skint and just being like, oh, okay, you know, have wanting to like build this up, but then at the same time, having not a lot of money to invest into it and having to have money to like live. And, you know, I still need to like travel here and there. So it's definitely a struggle. And I think as well, another thing we see on social media all the time, it's like people being like, I just made a load of money overnight, basically. Mm. I've started my own business and I've made like 10 grand in a week. And it's just, that's just not the case.
Not the reality
mm-hmm. at all. You do have to put in the work and you do need to contribute like both your time and your money. Mm-hmm. So just being in that phase of my life where just having no money really.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all been there, right? Yeah. Especially with the cost of living right now. Like it's so expensive to just live. Yeah. Like just to live, let alone do anything else. So like, yeah. And I think making money through like a business or through like a side thing or stuff like that is a lot harder than people 100%. Like than you first probably think when you start. You're like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll just get like, you know, 5 clients and they'll pay me a grand a month and I'll just go travel the world. Yeah. Like good luck with actually going through on that process. Yeah. Like it's tricky.
It is so tricky
to actually find those clients. Yeah. And you don't, there's so many different hurdles that you don't see. And I always think about a lot of what we do in our 20s is like over romanticize things. So we'll think about a plan and be like, yeah, that'll be the best plan. And then the actual real life, like how you actually do that plan is not so sexy, like at all.
It's not like that. It's like literally da, 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 da. And like, I am one of those people, like my mum says this all the time, like you just live in La La Land. Yeah. And I am just like that. I'm just like, try and be like as positive as I can be. So I like hype myself up and then I'm like, oh, actually, like, it's really not as easy as that. There's about
Do you ever do it like when you think of like a really great idea, think about it, get so, so, so excited about it. And then a day later, you're like, what was I thinking? Like, that's actually so hard to do. Yeah. Like, it's so, I always get myself like really excited about something. And then
I do that all the time. But I've also got a note in my like a little in my iPhone or just like on notes. So if I do ever have an idea, I always write it down because like, I just don't know what's going to happen in the future, you know? I've literally got like loads and loads and loads of like what ideas because to an extent is possible, I guess.
Yeah. Keeping the receipts so you can screenshot it and be like, I had this idea on like this day. Like,
this is where I was. This was the time. This was who I was with. If I am ever with someone, I'm always like, right, we need to capture this moment. Let's take a photo together and then let's put it in there as well.
Love it. Well, thank you, Gabby. It's been amazing to have you on the podcast. I have loved chatting to you, like hearing all about how to travel. I think it's going to be so helpful for anyone who listens right now who really wants to get their travel game on and see the world. So where can we find you on social media?
So you can find me at Gabs_Explores And you can also find our community for solo female travel specifically at Females Flying Solo.
And you're doing a few trips coming up, but they're fully booked right now?
They are.
Where are you going?
Currently, we're going to Costa Rica in February and Colombia in March 2024. And then there may be some other destinations.
I was going to say, will there be more? Like, do you think you'll be releasing more?
We hopefully will, yeah.
Yay! Exciting. Well, that's really cool. And those trips are like fully like put together and designed by you and another company that you work with. And then it's like a specific trip. You go out, like, how does that work?
Yeah, so at the moment, the current trips are with a different company that I'm partnering with, True Travels. Mm-hmm. I am also looking at, like, creating my own trips as well. I'm doing some retreats. At the moment, I will be going out on some of them. And yeah, I've got some good destinations planned. So it's just it's just me doing this at the moment. So I'm
You're
trying
doing
to be
an
like
amazing
patient
job.
With myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the plans and goals you have for the business is so exciting. But we always end the podcast in the same way. And we always ask all of our guests, if you could look back at 20-year-old you, so 20-year-old Gabby, what would you want to say to her that would see her through her 20s?
Oh,
one piece of advice.
One.
Just one.
I would say any sort of like failures, don't let them define you. So if, you know, if you've gone for a job interview, you didn't get it, or if you've failed a test, you didn't get like a mark that you wanted to, then just don't let that define you. Mm-hmm. Because I think I kind of did. And you start to think like, oh, I'm a failure. I'll never be this. I'll never do that. But actually those experiences like really teach you. They're only just preparing you for something that's like just probably bigger and better around the corner. So like you can be upset because your feelings are valid.
Yeah.
But just keep going because
is there anything that springs to mind when you talk about that? Like, is there something specific?
I think just everything. Mm-hmm. Like every time I didn't perform as well on a test, or I didn't get the job I wanted, or I did an application for something and I didn't get it, and I would be like dwelling on it for weeks and months on end, but like it just wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I think as soon as you like give up control and you're just like, oh, it's not meant for me, it makes it easier to apply in the first place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I think when you get so hit up on something, you really, 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 really want it, it makes the whole process 10 times more stressful because you're putting so much pressure on yourself. When actually, if you kind of just like surrender and gonna go, I'm gonna apply for this.
Yeah.
And if it comes back, great. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Like that's like such a freeing feeling. And it actually makes you more motivated to even apply in the first place because you're not pinning that great big pressure on yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, sometimes when you do let go of that, you know, if something hasn't turned out the way that you wanted and you sort of just like let go of it, you open like the space for just better things to come into your life. And when they do happen, it's like a light bulb moment. You're like, I wasn't meant to like, you know, get that job. I was meant to be doing this. So
I just have like one question for you now, because I know before you started this, you were with an ex, right? And you were in like a long-term relationship. If that ex could see you now, would they see the same person? Because you said you've been on all of this traveling. Like, how have you changed?
I'm just a completely different person. Like my mindset is big, better. Like, I feel like I just love myself a lot more as well, which is really nice. My confidence is totally different. I'm just a completely different person. Like that was like 3 years ago. So like I'm a completely different person now than I was like 2 weeks ago, never mind 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just a different person.
What do you think
person.
They would say if they saw you right now?
They'd be like, wow, missed out.
Missed out.
I think they know that.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Gabby. It was amazing to chat to you. I want to book on one of your next trips.
Come
so
on.
Yeah, I think it'd be amazing and excited to see where you go with females flying solo.
Thank you for having me.